You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back. This is the WFNY Brownscast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert. I'm with Taylor Jezerzak. Taylor, how are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, I've had a few days to not think about the Browns, so the next hour should be interesting.
Yeah, should be. Before we get started, this is brought to you by our partners at Underdog Fantasy. For first-time depositors, enter in the code WFNY at checkout, and Underdog will match your deposit up to $100. It's a great platform if you're tired of the DFS salary system. There's tons of different game types and drafts every night of the week for every sport. Don't forget to use WFNY at your checkout, and your first deposit will be matched up to $100. That is Underdog Fantasy. So before we get into Bucks-Browns this week, any kind of final thoughts or anything that come to you over the week or the last couple of days about the Browns' loss in Detroit against Buffalo?
Shockingly, no one was fired.
Right. Yeah.
I guess maybe not shockingly at this point. I don't even know anymore.
No, I think it's at this point, I think it's just wait till the end of the year on that kind of stuff. But yeah, they should be fired.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's keeping them around at this point.
Yeah, basically, I think just the lack of wanting to change.
Yeah,
change coaching staffs. Yeah, so yeah, I would assume Joe Woods and Mike Prefer are not long for after this season, but yeah, it's frustrating kind of having to deal with it the rest of the way. But as we get ready for Sunday, Browns are taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at First Energy. Finally back home after, what, a month or so, it seems like?
It feels like it's been forever.
Yeah. The Bucs are coming in at 5-5, Browns 3-7. So it's a very weird kind of Tom Brady team because usually you don't see this kind of straddling the 500 mark, but I think his age is finally catching up on him. Finally.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that, like, he's down to whoever the Bucs can find to play wide receiver.
Right. True. Yeah. So let's get into it. Let's. So what's your thoughts on like the Buccaneers? It pretty much seems like it's a defensive minded team, because the offense is just struggling. But what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, my thoughts are there are only two wins the last month have come against the Rams, who also cannot figure out what they are to save their lives and cannot stay out of their own injury way. And against Geno Smith, who has been good, but is also Geno Smith.
Right.
They as of today, are a month removed from only scoring 3 points on the Panthers and losing 21-3. So, like, the Browns have had bad losses. I'm not sure if they've had that kind of bad loss.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. They're kind of an enigma. They are 5-5, I think, solely on the merits of having the best quarterback of all time. They won game. I mean, their wins are against Dallas, who lost Dak in the game, New Orleans, who sucks, Atlanta, who beat us, but, you know.
They're not good.
They're not that good. The Rams, who are not that good, and Seattle, who is not that good. I mean, they could beat Cleveland and then say, we have 6 wins against teams that aren't that good, but
right.
Like, this is a team that lost to the Steelers. This is a team that lost to the Panthers. This is a team that lost to the Packers before they figured out Christian Watson was a thing. Like, they're in a weird place where they're probably going to have to start transitioning a lot of people. I don't know how much longer Tom Brady has. Did he really just play to avoid divorce settlements? I don't know. The internet knows, but we don't. They're in a weird place. The Browns are in a weird place, but they're like two totally different weird places. I don't know. It's a hard to predict game because the Bucs average 70 yards rushing, but the Browns have proven that doesn't matter.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Like this is, we've faced quite a few just terrible run offenses in the past couple weeks, and they've still delivered against the Browns. This is probably the worst one of them. Fournette is not playing well. Their offensive line is shredded with injuries.
Leonard Fournette's also hurt.
Right.
He might not even play. I just looked it up. Vita Vea might not play.
Oh.
I mean, that would be helpful for the Browns. I don't know what's left of the Bucs, to be honest.
Yeah.
Their injury report has got to be a mile long. Their second string running back is on injured reserve, so they're down to whoever is playing their third string running back. Yeah. We'll see if they've released the depth chart this week. They've been hit harder by the injury bug than I think anyone in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they sold what was left of, you know, their roster to win a title a few years ago.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be whoever – it doesn't – like if Leonard Fournette does play, if not, it's still going to be a poor run offense. And
It's Rashad White and Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yeah. Rashad White has played better – okay, I guess, over the past couple games. But – it's definitely not a team that should be able to run against you like we've seen in the past couple weeks, but you never know. You never know with this defense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'd think they'd eventually figure out, hey, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should stop the run. But
yeah, maybe you'd think.
They don't have the defensive tackles to be able to figure that one out.
Yeah. In the past couple days you've seen really, it was pretty similar to the Miami game where just the holes were just massive for the Bills' run game, and that's not gonna stop because the interior is just terrible. They don't have any NFL caliber players, not even like slightly below average. They're like,
I would take below average.
Right. Yeah.
That's where we're at. Like,
yeah,
I would gladly accept below average NFL player right now.
Like we're in a historically bad. This is a historically bad run defense, and
I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of the season it was the worst run defense to ever run defense. But
I would think so. It's I don't know. I can't think of like Browns have had some bad run defenses over the years, but like this one just takes the cake. It's like they're not even getting like in the past it was like poor tackling. Like this one, they're not even like getting hands on guys.
I think the one of the most frustrating issues is that like this is a clearly evident problem, and not only is it keep happening, they don't even seem to make adjustments to see if they can fix it.
Right, like no like run blitzes or run stunt. Like it just you don't see that.
No,
it's just I don't know. But getting back on the Bucs, so yeah, this is going to be Tom Brady's obviously in the backfield, so he can kill you any time. He's not as at his usual level that he's been in his career, but he's still. I think I watched him. I don't know if it was a couple weeks ago. He came back and won it on the final drive. He's still got that. He's still got that Tom Brady magic, so he can kill you. I haven't seen the injury report hasn't come out yet. We're doing this on Wednesday, so not sure about who's his receivers this week. Mike Evans, I think, is healthy, but Chris Godwin's been in and out of the lineup. Julio Jones has been in and out of the lineup. Russell Gage has been in and out of the lineup. Scotty Miller, like they when healthy, they're like this is one of the top probably pass offenses because they just have gobs of talent at the receiving core. Yeah. But they've been just shredded with the injury bug. So much that Leonard Fournette is their third leading receiver.
like not great.
No. he's not considered, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. It's going to be, for both sides, pretty much, it's going to be interesting to see who actually plays. Because we'll get to the Browns injuries in a second, but it's going to be that's going to be a big part of this game where who the heck is going to be lining up?
Yeah, Vita Vea, Leonard Fournette, Russell Gage, did not practice on didn't practice today.
Okay.
Giovanni Bernard was put on injured reserve 2 days ago. One of their linebackers is also listed as questionable for this week. Shaq Barrett is still on injured reserve. Their center is apparently still on injured reserve. I don't know. They have a lot of injuries, kind of like the Browns. Well, the Browns don't have a ton of injuries. They just have a lot of injuries clustered on one group.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's... It's probably not going to be a game that features a whole lot of points because I most of the Bucs games haven't had a lot of points. let's see. The most points they've scored this year is 31 against the Chiefs. They're not scoring a lot.
Yeah. That was early in the season too, I think.
Yeah.
It'll be, you never know with this defense, though. The Browns defense is always hold my beer. we can make anybody look good. So that's the Bucks. So their offense is kind of pass oriented, but as you know, Cleveland's defense can't stop the run. So we'll probably see more run from them than they've shown all year. Yeah. On defense, the run defense isn't that great, but they're very good on coverage. Pretty solid in pass rush. They're obviously hampered with injuries on both sides, and the pass rush has been kind of hit with that bug too. So they're not as good as we've seen in the past, but they're still, the defense is what wins them games every week. So it'll be a tough sledding for Jacoby Brissett in his final game as the starter, unless Deshaun gets injured or something weird happens. But so that's a kind of good turning point of getting to the Browns. So as I said, this is the last game for Jacoby before Deshaun gets back next week. We talked about how he's performed very well. He's performed above my expectations, but he has also kind of, as we said, plateaued the offense a little bit because he is what he is. He can't, the explosive plays are just not there.
Yeah, but that's just how he plays.
Right. Yeah. It's the Jacoby Brissett kind of plateau. You're not gonna get any more, but you've gotten so much from him.
Yeah,
he is not. He's been far from the problem.
He's plateaued at better than half the quarterbacks in the league, which is a lot better than I think anyone would have thought.
Right.
So,
yeah, and the Browns' offense has struggled running the ball lately, and that could be pointed a little bit to kind of the injuries, obviously, on the offensive line, but also the lack of explosiveness on the offense where the defense is just packing it in. We see two straight weeks of their 5-2 up front, so they're kind of going all in on the run defense,
closing up the lanes.
Yeah, and you can't, even is how good this run offense is, you just can't do anything when there's way more people to block than you have guys to block.
Yeah.
But so what do you think? What do you think the Browns' advantages are on offense for this week? How do you think they're going to attack the Buccaneers?
I mean, until we know fully the status of Vita Vea, it's hard to say 100% definitively where their advantage is going to be. I would think that Kevin Stefanski, as much hate as he's gotten this week, is still an advantage. If you can turn Baker Mayfield into a top 10 quarterback for a season, then you might be the second coming of football Jesus. I don't know what's going on down here, but the man was just benched for Sam Darnold. So.
Oh my God.
So put that one in perspective. But
get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
There's going to be plays that are open. I imagine they're going to drive the field the first drive like they always do.
Yep.
The strange part is they're like 0-3 this season when they score a touchdown on their first drive, which doesn't make any sense. the offense hasn't been the issue. They might need to rely on throwing the ball to open up the run a little more, but that might entail playing Kareem Hunt more than Nick Chubb right now, because it feels like defenses are leaning towards run whenever Nick Chubb is in the game, even when Nick Chubb is catching passes, because he doesn't do that a lot and he doesn't pass block well.
He did it last week.
Yeah,
he caught four passes, I think it was.
Yeah, he did. I mean. But in the same vein, he's just not expected to be that part of the offense. So,
right, yeah,
defenses are able to key on that a lot better.
Yeah, they're in a really tough spot in terms of playing Hunt, and Hunt hasn't really looked that great. Like he doesn't look explosive as much as he has in the past, especially as a runner. So it's kind of. If you want to put him in, obviously he's the better pass blocker and receiver, but then you kind of have a downgrade, quite a big downgrade on in the run game. So it's kind of one of those darn tough little balancing acts that the coaching staff is going to have to do.
Yeah.
Without Vita Vea, it would be greatly
theoretically worse. It would be easier to run the ball.
Right.
But the Bucs defense is still pretty good.
Yeah, and they're still going to probably pack the running lanes. So I think it's going to have to be won through the air. I think Brissett's going to have to make some plays. And basically how they won in the last couple games, they have to win through the air.
Yeah, the Bucs team still does give up 116 yards a game on the ground.
Right.
I don't know how much of that is skewed by playing Lamar Jackson. I can see how many, if he had rushing yards that day. He had 43, so nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a team that you're able to run against. It's just whether or not they're going to stack the box like the rest of the teams have. Yeah. And Todd Bowles is a good enough coach to see what other teams have done to slow down this offense.
Yeah, that's why I'm not feeling too great about it, because Todd Bowles is one of the best defensive minds in the game, and I don't think he'll be stupid enough to not see, look what these successful
– Yeah, this isn't the Bengals.
Right. Look at these successful teams shutting down the offense. Well, not shutting down, but shutting down the run game at least. And it's been successful for them. So Yeah, that's going to be interesting. On defense, it comes down to the same thing every freaking week. Can they stop the run? Can they slow down a little bit?
Probably not.
Right. It's frustrating because you know what's going to happen. And giving Tom Brady a run game is just bad news because he'll shred you through the air with the play action passing, and it's gonna be a tough matchup. Let's just say that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's basically the Browns on offense and defense. Before we get to our prop bets this week, what are some of your keys to the victory for the Browns heading into Sunday?
Aside from the obvious?
Yeah, step in the ring. Don't be a sieve.
Yeah. Keeping Jacoby Brissett upright. I have a feeling that their strategy to get him off his place would be to just try to beat him up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has shown to be fairly elusive in the pocket, which I don't think many of it, like, he had put that on tape before, but you know, he's not getting any younger, so you don't know how long that's going to last, but he's proven pretty tough to sack, but it's a good way to, like, the thing that this offense can't do is get behind in the chains, because they are, when you're predicated on the run, then you've lost half your offense.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of keeping him clean, finding ways to run the ball more successfully than you have. I mean, Nick Chubb can't possibly have 2 weeks in a row where he looks like he did last week. it just doesn't seem possible.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know who we're starting at center this week.
Yeah, Froholt, I forgot to mention that. Froholt is out sick today, so.
They signed the one kid, I don't even remember his name.
Greg something.
Yeah.
Marsick or, yeah. Yeah, it's not great if he's going to have to come in. It's going to be, God, if Viavea does play.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Right. Like, that could be the biggest advantage of any team in any game. Just Vita Vea versus whoever the heck they have at center. It's going to be rough.
If Vita Vea plays.
Right, if Vita Vea plays.
And if he doesn't play, then it's whoever their backup defensive tackle is against.
True.
Yeah. Whatever guy the Browns are running out there at center.
Yeah. Bills just ate them up all week, all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really fair to go against Froholt for that.
Right.
It's not his position. I don't think he really went into that game thinking, oh, I'm going to play the center today.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to have to snap a football.
Yeah.
Which he had a few. I think he had 3 bad snaps. One of them was a fumble, and there were 2 low shotgun snaps. But
the kind of annoying part is, like, I think that probably is a big factor in his poor play. He coming in at center gotta be one of the hardest ones to, besides quarterback, to come in and just kind of start right away without any notice or anything. But you would have hoped that he would have had practice time with the starters this week to kind of get more affiliated with them. But he's out with illness. So it's a tough situation where we might be in for what we saw last week. And that's not great because the offense was just shut down. Because of it.
Although, well, the running game was shut down. They were still able to throw the ball really well.
They were. Mm-hmm. Any other keys you got?
Finding a way to get David Njoku a little more involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, this is a very good Bucks defense, but
he didn't practice today, by the way.
Yeah, that might just be a rest
thing.
You're right.
Yeah, I think so,
just, and he's still coming back from injury, good enough to play, but maybe don't test it in practice.
He did jump over a man.
Yeah, I mean, he looked fine for that one play, but he only had two catches last week.
Yeah.
So, obviously, defenses are going to try to find ways to stop him from getting the ball because he's really tough to defend in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
But passing offense hasn't been a problem. It's been, surprisingly enough, the run game that's been a problem. And they just need to figure out a way to generate yards running the ball again. They can't – the offense just – doesn't function if it like it doesn't function to the extent that it can if it can't if they don't run the ball.
Right.
So
yeah, that actually leads to my kind of key there. They need to start throwing more on first down. Like they're these, as you said earlier, kind of open the pass up to let the run game kind of get started.
Yeah.
Because they're starting these run game run they're starting running on first down, and then you're getting, what, a yard or losing a yard, and then you're behind the sticks. So it's yep. I would love to see more kind of first down passing, get some good yardage, and then hopefully on second down you're, what, second and five, something like that. That'll be a better passing or better run situation. So I would like to see that. Defense. God, just please don't be a sieve. show some anything. I don't know.
Keep doing a little of what you did last week. Keep like, forcing field goals.
Yes. Can you at least, like, I don't know, maybe just not lose ground?
Yeah.
like don't be pushed back. Like, these like, holes that they're giving up is
just fall down.
Right.
It'd be more effective falling down.
Be a little road grader. be a little road bump for
You'd be more effective as a speed bump than a traffic barrel.
That's right. Like, force them to have to run around you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just if we see the same holes being created this week, they have no chance. It's gonna be tough because I don't know how you can improve on it besides run blitzing. And then that puts more stress on the back end. And
but according to like what some of the comments, the secondary wants that challenge. They want to play man to man. They want to do that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And so
probably like, better see that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it doesn't feel like Denzel Ward versus Mike Evans is a fair matchup because Mike Evans is like six foot 72.
Right. I wonder if we see more Emerson on him. I know it's a rookie, but still, at least he gets some height and length on him.
Maybe in the red zone. I don't think you're going to want to put Martin Emerson on him at the 35-yard line and have him get burned on a post.
Yeah.
But
we're just out of things to say about this defense. Like,
no, because like we said on Sunday, it's not like. The only thing, there has been one thing that has improved over the course of the season. Well, two things that have improved over the course of the season. They know their assignments for the most part in the secondary. They haven't done that for 2 months. They know what they're doing in the secondary. That's progress. It only lost them two games.
Only took them half the season to figure it out.
And the tackling has been considerably better, and Grant Delpit doesn't look like an absolute waste of space on the defense.
True.
He's actually looked like a guy that the guy that they drafted for the last like month of the season.
Yeah.
Like
the back end has improved quite a bit.
Yeah. It's the linebackers couldn't stay healthy in the middle of the season. That might be part of the reason that they're still kind of struggling a little bit. Obviously, they're missing their best run stopper. But defense, like, we've talked about the same things in the defensive line the whole season. When they're passing, the defensive tackles get washed out, and the defensive ends can't get home because the quarterback can just kind of take one step forward and watch them run behind them.
Right. the edges have to pretty much run a whole circle. They have to do the whole circle drill.
Yeah. And then on running downs, like, they're getting pushed out of the way as if they weigh 120 pounds. So, like, that's where the entire defense has come down to. The rest of the defense has been fine for the better part of the last month. Mm-hmm. Since the Baltimore game, the defense has been mostly okay.
Right.
Mostly being everywhere but the interior
yeah.
defensive line and interior linebackers. Because right. mostly the defensive tackles because they're bad and the linebackers because they've been hurt.
Yeah, and they got nobody else. No one to take up blocks in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when you have a defensive tackle in your lap, you can't make the tackle.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, there's not much to add to the defense. Like,
yeah.
The sad, crappy, every word that you can find about this season is that you can see certain aspects of the game getting better every week.
Right.
But the one area that has been the glaring weakness since week four of the run game, the run defense, has not only not gotten better, they may have gotten worse.
Oh, I think they have gotten worse. We didn't see these like giant holes the beginning of the year. Obviously,
I don't know what the Falcons figured out, but ever right. since that moment, the run defense yeah. has not been the same. Before right. that, yeah. for the first three games and three and a half games, the run defense looked way better than the pass defense.
Right.
And then the Falcons yeah. like pushed one oh. button and the entire thing fell over.
They're like, oh, I can do this. Okay. I think every team watched that film and they're like, oh, okay. They can't do shit.
If we do this one thing, their entire nervous system just goes limp.
Right. It's basically you're pressing Madden, you're on Madden, you're just pressing same play.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, it's defense is not hard to figure out. And the other key I had is just kind of limit the kind of small things that have kind of been the downfall. Poor coverage and punt returns.
That was about to be a key that I said. Let's limit the amount of plays the special teams is on the field.
Right.
Unless it's kickoffs. Yeah. Don't limit those.
Yeah.
Limit everything else.
Yeah.
Kickoffs and extra points.
Kickoff, extra points. Can we block? Can we kick high enough to not get blocked? Would be nice. What's another thing? Drops. It hasn't been a huge issue, but there's been some issue with drops that have ruined some of the drives. We saw two in a row last week.
Yep.
So it's just kind of a cleanup. Just be cleaner overall so you can kind of win. As we said, they're losing on the edges. And when you have a backup quarterback and a defense that can't stop anybody in the run game, You got to be great on everything else, and they haven't been doing that. So
no, hopefully they haven't been perfect except for against the Bengals for whatever yeah, reason.
Right, and that's one of the keys there too. Okay, so as we move on to our prop bets, just to go over last week, I know we weren't going to count last week because we all kind of thought I was going to be in Buffalo. But we actually turned out 5-4. Everybody were you, me, and Gerbs were all 5-4. So as we go through it, Browns +7.5. We were all wrong. They won by 8. The Bills did. So barely. Vegas always knows, man. 7.5, and they won by 8.
Yeah, made a field goal, made an extra point, made a 2-point convert. Like,
yeah,
Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas knows.
That's why you don't bet money, people.
Right. Yes. The other one, over under 41.5 points, it was 54. So we were all wrong on that. And then Josh Allen was 320 yards, total yards. you, me and Gribbs were right. He only got 204, which was still low. I know, right? Indoors, and they still indoors, and they still only gave up 204. Like, it shows you how, like, this defense didn't play that bad, but when you just can't stop the run, it just
kind of falls apart.
Falls apart, right? 2.5 total touchdowns. We were all right on the under. He only had one for Josh Allen. We were all right on Stephon Diggs being under 90 receiving yards. He only had 48. We were all wrong on Nick Chubb. This one was the craziest one.
I don't think anyone would have foreseen 19.
19 yards. And then Browns touchdown leader, Taylor, you got this one right. You had Cooper. He had 2 touchdowns. He led the team in touchdowns. And then who wins time of possession? We all had the Browns, and the Browns did win 31 minutes and 22 seconds. And then we were all right. Yes, I think it was 31 and 28. And then the Bills won 31-23, and we were all right. We all picked the Bills, but much different scores because we all thought it was going to be in the snow. So as we get to this week, Browns are currently plus 3.5. What you got?
I'll probably take the points on that one.
Yeah, I'm taking...
Even when the Bucs have won, they've won close. So I'll take the plus 3.5. I'll take
the Browns. I'm actually going the Bucs. I think they'll win more than by 3. It won't be like a blowout, but I think it'll be a touchdown or less, but it will be more than 3.5. So I'll go there. Over under 42.5. What you got? That's like 21-22.
Yeah. I think I'll go over. Not by much, but over.
Yeah. It's going to be – this one is really tight. Like, I think
– 42.5 is low for an NFL game.
Right. But we all think
– But the Bucs have hit the under in, like, every game they've played, except for the Chiefs game.
Right. So you said over?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go – this one is really tough. I'm going to go over slight – yeah. I'll go different than you, so I'll go under. I think both offenses are going to – well, the Browns are playing against a tough defense, and then the Bucks are just a tough – they're not a good scoring offense right now. So no. I think that combination is going to lead it to an.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Over under Tom Brady, 274.5 passing yards. The average is, I think, 280.
Under.
Under. I'm going to go under two. Yeah, I think it's going to be – I think the weather is going to be pretty nice. It might be raining, but it's still, I think, depending on who the heck is going to be his receivers – and with the probably we're going to see a lot more running yards for the Bucks than usual. I think they won't go as much through the air. So I think under two. So
the weather in Cleveland on Sunday is supposed to be kind of gross.
Yeah, it's like 50 and or like 45 and like rain or something.
It says 50 and rain, 90% chance of rain, 15-25 mile an hour winds.
Yeah. never know with Cleveland weather.
No, I mean that'll be snow by Saturday. So.
This is actually a warm up from the past.
Kind yeah, of. I was just thinking it looks kind of warm up there right now.
Yeah. So Jacoby Brissett over under 223 yards, 223.5 passing yards.
Over, because until the Browns run offense proves that it can do things again, I'm gonna think that they need to go through the pass.
Same. I'm agreeing with you. I think they'll go over that. I think they'll be behind and have to throw it more. So, and as you said, they can't run the ball right now. So you might probably have to do it. So next one is Nick Chubb. Man, we started from 100. Now we're down to Nick Chubb, 76.5 rushing yards over under.
I'll go over, but I don't think it'll be a 100-yard day.
This one is really tough. I could see it right around this. I'm gonna go over because I think it just seems like he runs better at home. I don't know. That might not be specific. Might not be like a true measurement, but I think I think the fans get behind him and kind of help that. So I think he'll get barely over, but he'll beat that mark. Over under Amari Cooper, 62.5 receiving yards. I think this is easily over. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's the only thing that's prevented him from going over that the last few weeks has been the emergence of Donovan Peoples-Jones. So,
right.
I'm going to say over, but I think that those two will end up around the same total. They'll probably end up both in the 80s, maybe 80s or something.
Donovan Peoples-Jones has just been. We talked about it in the recap last week. His performance this year has been really good. I think he's the only receiver since I forget which week with 50 receiving yards every game. So
he's also doing it without a whole lot of notoriety because he's not also adding touchdowns to that. He's just.
Right.
He's piling on a productive amount of yards without being like if he was doing 95 to 120 yards every week, people would notice because he'd be up near 1,000 yards right now. But
right
now he's, you know, safely between 50 and 70 every week, catching between 4 and 7 passes. I mean, he's been able to find himself open. He's catching the ball.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's doing all the things you want out of a sixth round receiver.
Yeah, like he's playing almost like a perfect number two receiver. Like he's showing consistency.
His ability to make the spectacular catch is also.
Yeah, yeah. Like he struggles to get open, but he doesn't really need it when he has such great hands and ability.
Body control.
Yeah, make body control thing. He got his first touchdown last week, I think, right?
Yeah.
It's been a weird, interesting season for him. But yeah, he's definitely earning a possible second contract here, in my opinion.
Yeah. It would actually be kind of a criminal to let him walk at this point, unless
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. I can't imagine he's going to ask for a ton of money, but like.
Yeah.
He's going to deserve whatever he gets.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Next one is over under 90 total rushing yards for the Bucks.
Over.
I'm going over on that.
I don't even think I need to explain why I think it's over. I think 90 might be low. I think you might be able to set that at 115 and still get some overs.
So
the Bucks, this is a team that averages 70.
Right. That's why. Like I thought it was not like this is 20 rushing yards more than their average, and I think we're both over on that one. This is like before until the Browns kind of show anything differently.
You could have done 50% over their average, and still people might have taken the over. You could have done 105.
I think so. Yeah. it's gonna be a crap fest for the run defense. But Okay, final one is score and game prediction. What you got?
Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've been saying the Browns should be treating this like a playoff game, and they need to win, and if they want their season to continue, they have to win, and all this shit. And you know, they didn't play worth anything against Miami. They weren't as bad as the 28-10 score indicated against Buffalo. But in the end, you know, if they want to make a playoff push, if they want to, you know, get back on the in the hunt graphic, they have to, not just this week, because I think 4-7 probably doesn't even leave them in the hunt, but they need to win this week. They need to figure it out. They need to figure out how to beat a team that hasn't really found very many ways to win themselves aside from beating bad teams. And you don't want to become another one of those wins. You don't want to become another one of those reasons that the Bucks find their way into the playoffs because they beat a whole bunch of teams that finished below 500.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be a very high scoring game. I did say over 42.5, but that, I mean, that doesn't take a whole lot. I'll go Browns 24-20.
Oh, Browns 24-20. Okay. I like it. I'm going to go Bucks. I said the under, so I'm going 24-17 Bucks, which I think is under 42.
Yes. Yeah, that one is. That one, yes. Like, I was thinking about that score when I was doing the over-under, and I was like, crap, that one comes to 41.
Yeah. Until the Browns kind of show it to me, unless they play like the Carolina Panthers or some.
Well, the Panthers play defense.
Right. That's true. Or like Pittsburgh or something. I'm not going to pick the Browns until they show it. Or they play the Bengals, which is an automatic win now, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Bucks 24-17 or 24-7. Yeah, 24-17. It's a close game, just like every other Browns game. They're going to be in the game for most of it, and it's just going to be.
Tom Brady's going to suck for the whole game, and then he's going to lead an 85-yard touchdown right. drive in the final.
Exactly. We're going to. Oh man. We're going to see like a. It's going to be like 17-17, and they're going to.
Yeah.
It's going to put together like a 2-minute drive. Because the Browns are just terrible at stopping 2-minute drives. So that's my prediction. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Sean Watson doesn't fix the defensive tackles, but he could fix a lot of things in terms yes. of putting pressure on other teams to not run the ball.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess we're a week away from that. The team that we're playing next week just benched their bridge quarterback for a further bridge quarterback. They just went to the sub bridge.
Oh man, it'll be interesting to see how many people are at that game because they've averaged very like I don't know if you saw the last game there was like I would say less than 0.5% full.
Look, I don't know what the temperature is for Deshaun Watson down there, but. Why do I have a feeling it's going to turn into December 3rd, 2010 there?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Like, people actually care enough to show up, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
That's if they care enough to show up.
Right. True.
I know we've jumped the track a little bit from the Bucks game and moved on, but like, I don't know. Like,
it's going to be interesting, man.
And the sad part is I'm not looking forward to this the quarterback transition because the offense is bad. I just want to see something different.
Yeah.
Every Browns game for the last month and a half has looked the same.
Right. It's going to be the most intriguing game we've seen all season.
because like every game is every game has played out almost the same way.
Yeah. At least, yeah, last few games, except for like the Cincy game. Like, it's
yeah,
like,
the offense has looked good at times and looked bad at times. The defense has looked good at times and one looked like they're not even on the field at times.
Right. Start off with a lead, then can't
special teams will either special teams will be either unnoticeable or like horrible. Glaring blight on humanity.
Yeah.
Like, there's not. This team hasn't found a middle of the road game. If they could find a middle of the road game,
boy, would that be nice.
Yeah, like I think your last middle of the road game might have been the Steelers game, which is week two.
Yeah.
No, week three.
Yeah, because they didn't really play that well, and they kind of won because
Steelers because Mitch Trubisky is bad.
Yes,
but
yeah. It's going to be interesting, but we have to get through this game first.
Yep.
See what happens. Yeah.
I would say it can't get worse, but getting blown out by a Bucs team that really isn't that good would be bad.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. One more week there. But, yeah, this is where we're at, and we'll see what happens. Kind of the injuries will kind of help decide it too. See who the heck is on the field for both teams.
Yep.
Because pray for Froholt or whoever is going to be the center if Vita Vea plays. we may see a copycat of Nick Chubb from last week if Vita Vea plays because I don't think, man. I don't want to even think about it, but I don't feel good about the run game if he plays. We'll see, but yeah. Other than that, we'll see. I'll be at the game, so we'll be back with you probably around 5-ish, 5:30, whenever I can get back. But yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Once again, I hope I am able to talk about a win.
Yes,
it's been a while.
One day, Taylor will get to talk about a win. One day. God, what was the week? What week was it?
God. We talked about this already, but was it the Steelers game?
You didn't do Cincy.
It was the Steelers game.
Oh, my God.
That was the last time I got to talk about a win.
Oh, God. Yeah.
If I've seen beaten down the last few weeks, you know what?
Exactly. Yeah. Give Taylor a win, guys. Do it for Taylor. but yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back on Sunday, and everyone have a great Thanksgiving, and go Browns.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.